Social impact everywhere.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. I have another special guest for this episode, and her name is Frankie Picasso, and incredible lady who is actually a radio host, which is awesome, and author of Midlife Mojo and I Bared My Chest. And she's now moved on to something even, I want to say more amazing, and I just did a little search of it. It looks really cool, and she's the founder of rentabeliever.com. That's rentabeliever.com. And Frankie, I want to say thank you for taking time to be on the podcast with me today.
Avery, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy New Year to you too. And Frankie, I'd love to just, you know, pick your brain a little bit and learn a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Okay. Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah, please go ahead. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I've always, you know, one thing that's always touched my heart is how to be a change artist in the community, how to give back to a community, world at large, how to change the world. People think it's a big thing that you have to be grandiose in gesture, but really it can be the tiniest things that change people's lives. A smile when you were feeling really down. Somebody said hello to you today when you haven't spoken to anybody all week. So those are little things. But when I started the Good Radio Network, the premise really had been, I'd been just meditating, going, okay, I'm really bored with just talking to people and promoting them. What can I really do that has meat and potatoes to it? And I just waited and waited and waited, and finally I got this download from the universe, and it said, go find people who have changed the world, one person who's changed the world. And I went, okay, because somebody had said to me, what can I do? I'm just one person, right? And I'm okay, yeah. Let's see what one person can do. Let's see the impact one person can have. And so I started to look for those one persons, and it just exploded. And I thought, okay, I'm going to start the Good Radio Network. It is going to be the first online radio station that actually does a world of good. So not only do we talk to people who do a world of good, we do a world of good, whether it's through monetary, you know, giving money to people, in-kind advertisement, reaching out to nonprofits that really need some exposure, anything like that that's going to help others who are impacting the world do the same thing. And then I thought, I'm going to line it, because I really got excited about the United Nations Global Goals. And yeah, so I'm going to align with the United Nations Global Goals and see how, you know, I can get the nonprofits and some of the shows to really just align. My Frankie Sense show aligns with the global goals, and just try to pick people who are in those categories, kind of, whether it's women or nonviolence against women or impact, you know, justice, things like that. War children, you know.
Yeah. And so I'm curious then, are there other, let's say radio stations or other, you know, networks that do things similar to you? Or were you kind of, you know, pioneering something that was new, or you're actually, you know, providing those benefits?
Well, I didn't know anybody that was doing it, and I still don't know anybody who's doing it, but maybe people are. I'm not going to say nobody's doing it, because, you know, I'm not the only, I call it the world consciousness pool. And that's why so many of us have the same ideas, except those who actually implement are, you know, the first ones known to be doing it, right? So I think, you know, we all can dip into that pool of consciousness and go, oh, there's a great idea. But then there's those few people who actually, the entrepreneurs, who actually run with it and make it happen.
Yeah. And I mean, it's difficult. That's why, right? When you run with something, there's that actual, it goes from being an idea to actually being something you have to do.
Yeah.
And there's that difficulty of making it happen.
Well, I got a few what I call Frankieisms. And one of them is that opportunities, they're not lost to people. They're just not actioned upon. So we all get opportunities. They all come to us every single day. We all have the idea. But if you're watching late night TV and you see something that you invented and you go, wait a minute, I invented that. Did you?
Nah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you didn't.
You didn't.
Yeah, that's funny. And so I want to pick your brain a little bit about, you know, community and what it looks like to build a positive impact in it. And the question I have for you is, how are you, you know, how is Frankie, how are you making a positive impact in your community, whether global, you know, local, how are you making that?
Well, you know what, I'm an artist. And so I thought, well, what can I do with my art that would make a positive impact? So two things. One is, I love animals and I paint a lot of animals, and animals who have passed, animals who are still here, you know, whatever, you know, people need. But money goes to the donkey sanctuary, money goes to humane societies, money goes to whoever really, a rescue, whoever really needs it, like, you know, that impact right away.
Yeah.
The other thing I do is when I, my paintings is I have set up with mercy ships so that a child will get a smile. Basically, I do cleft palate surgery. So cleft palate surgery costs $250 per child. Mm-hmm. So every $250, a kid gets, you know, surgery. So mm-hmm. that's what I do. So it, when I, if I sell a painting, I put the money towards mercy ships. It automatically comes out and they get a smile.
Aww.
And I think it's a really easy fix. And also VVF surgery, which is really horrific, but for women, but it's forgotten and it's important. So VVF is vesicovaginal fistula. And what happens is in a lot of the third world countries, girls get pregnant. They're very young, maybe 14, 15. The baby's too big, can't come out the birth canal. There's no, you know, cesarean sections to be had. And so the baby dies in utero. Oh. They have to wait for it to atrophy to come out. While it's atrophying, it is burning a hole through the rectum, through the uterus, through, and so they're left with this big hole that leaks.
Oh my God.
Thrown out of their villages because they're disgusting, right? Their husbands don't want them anymore. And so now they don't have a home. Their baby just died. Yeah. A happy event turned into a horrible event. And it's really actually still a quick fix with some medication and a little bit of surgery. It's about $500 for the surgery through mercy ships. Fix you right back up and, you know, away you go again. But wow. People have to know about it and they have to say, yeah, you know what? I want my money to go to that. I think that's important.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because I've heard of mercy ships and, you know, cleft palate surgeries. I know they do a lot of promotion on that. And yeah. I think it's, you know, incredible. $250 is all that does it, but I haven't heard of that yeah. second surgery. And, it's sad to me sometimes, not sad, let's say, but it's a challenge sometimes when there isn't enough promotion done on one thing that it kind of loses sight, right? Like you just painted a pretty challenging story that has a lasting negative impact on someone's life. And only $500 changes that.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I love about the cleft palate too, is that like it's a 45 minute surgery. And you know, before they're ostracized from their community, their parents go, oh, they'll never marry, that which is a big thing in a lot of third world countries, right? Mm-hmm. Who's gonna look after my kids? How will they get a job? And now it's like they're all better.
Mm-hmm.
It took just a little bit of something, you know, somebody with a little bit of something to do that. And I think like that's why I love Mercy Ships Canada for that. And they are dedicated to giving free healthcare to the world's poorest of the poor, which I think is pretty nice. They have a catalog. You can go through the catalog and say, oh, okay, like a broken leg costs this and that surgery costs that. And you can just give it, or you can decide what you want your money to go to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty cool too.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, they're doing incredible things for people. And again, that it's the difference between ostracizing, like you said, and actually living a life. And it's just that simple action.
Yeah. So animals, again, are really important to me. And so I want to make sure that there's no dog meat trade, that there's, you know, the animals at home are getting treated well. Donkeys are especially treated poorly. And I'm so glad that we have a donkey sanctuary right near me, just outside of Guelph.
Nice.
You know, which is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So... because, you know, a lot of these are businesses and, you know, Mercy Ships is a nonprofit and you work with a lot of nonprofits and, you know, very, very noble causes. Do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
Oh my God. Yes. I think every company should have a corporate responsibility office. I think they all need to think about it. You know, profits are one thing, but when you can give some profits and help people at the same time, it helps you. And I think it does help business. You know, I mean, I'm going as a consumer, you know, Tom's shoes, I'm going to go to buy from Tom's instead of this person because I know that they're going to give a free pair of shoes to a child. Mm. So as a consumer, that's important to me. So if I can look at a company and they're going to say, you know what, for every, not a fake one, but a real one, you know, I'm going to give food to the food bank, or I'm going to give this to that, whatever their corporate responsibility looks like, it's going to make the decision of maybe I'll shop there or I won't shop there to their competitor.
Yeah. And I feel like a broken record because I've said this maybe 1,000 times, but they're actually showing now that businesses that have, you know, corporate social responsibility or even social impact measurements or actions built into their mission of a company, they actually do better now. And they're showing they're more attractive to angel investments and more attracted to investors and advisors. They're actually better on almost all fronts now. And it's a big flip from traditional business, but it's actually not just socially better, and you're not just only helping people, you actually make a better profit now.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was National Sports had the Amber because his granddaughter Amber had, you know, been taken. So that's where the Amber Alert came from.
Oh.
And so that was their big, you know, their big charity. And I think, you know, Loblaws has their big charity. Like some of them have their own big charities, But if you have, I don't like it when they say, well, you know, 5% goes, or give us money at the cash register. I don't do that. I don't like to give money at the cash register. That's just a company being able to really save a crap load of money on taxes.
Yeah, it's a
our benefit, right?
Yeah.
But when they have a real corporate, you know, responsibility office and somebody who looks after that and a marketing manager who that's their responsibility, yes, you know, you got something.
Yeah, yeah,
and you care. You gotta have heart. You gotta have heart in business.
You do, and you know that very traditional expression. You know, you have to remove the personal from business. I've never really liked that. I get where it comes from, but every decision we make as a species or as an individual is a human based emotion. It is very hard to be logically, you know, removed, because you are still emotionally attached to that. Right, the outcome is an emotional decision, whether you think it is or not.
Absolutely. You know what? 110% right. Companies did that. They said, okay, we're going to take the people out of business. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be business. And they realized, you know, not even that long ago, that it's people who show up to work, and it's people mm-hmm. who have problems and have real lives, and people who have to, you know, kind of find their way. And so this idea of being able to do a business because you've got a laptop and a cell phone that you don't actually have to sit at a desk, or you can be flexible and you can do things like help people help mm-hmm. you. That's like such a much better way of doing business. I used to work for the government of Ontario, and my job title was special advisor for Spirit. Spirit, you know, that was helping people feel better at work without giving them money. What can you come up with? What programs and initiatives could I come up with that would make people feel better about themselves and their job? Because they had taken the people out, and the government had decentralized, and they felt like lost orphans. They, you know, they weren't happy campers. And so how can we, you know, bring the family home and make them feel like, you know, they're loved and beloved and belong again? And it was a great job. It was fun.
It sounds like it. No, that's awesome. I'd love to have, you know, Spirit in the title. That's super cool. You know, I've done a little bit of work with, you know, government institutions, and yeah, there's, it's becoming better, but there is that very, very, removed part from, you know, you need a logical decision. It's not a human decision, but at the end of the day, the effect is it has a human effect, right? So I don't think we can any longer really make those decisions without the human component in it.
How do you change corporate culture without thinking about the people who work there?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. It's true. And so, we talked about business. We talked about, you know, what you do in your community. But let's talk about advice that we can, you know, give to others and build for others who watch this show. And my question then is, what is that advice that you have for others to begin building a social impact in their communities?
Do what you love. Like, take what you love, like I did with my painting, and figure out how you can have an impact with what you love to do already. Like, I think that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's your church, then go to your church and say, hey guys, you know what? I was reading this and I'd really like to help this community. Like, you know, is anybody else on board with it? Or if it's just you and you want to do it on your own, you know, do it on your own. Write a book and give the proceeds to whoever. It doesn't really matter what you do as long as you're thinking about doing it. And I think this year is really the year of kindness and the year of oneness and understanding that we are all connected. It doesn't matter what we look like or where we live. We are connected.
Yeah.
You know, we're connected by this planet that we live on, and we're all going to live and die by the oceans and live and die by the air that we breathe. And, you know, we're one. We are one, and you can't separate us. You really can't. So this is the year we need to come together and really think about kicking it up. impact has to be on environment. Impact has to be on you know, helping people, and people shouldn't be dying of hunger. There's no need to die of malnutrition today.
No, we
throw out so much food that others would be like, oh my God, look at that, it's a feast.
Yeah,
right.
And this is a crazy statistic, and I might not get the specifics of it, but it's something like $89 billion is spent on advertising in the United States specifically right now. And the company AdBank did this. They're basically a blockchain based ad agency, and they found $89 billion is spent. The amount that the UN said could end world hunger, solve world hunger per year, $87 billion.
Yeah.
So the amount that they spend in advertising alone would solve world hunger. Like, these are attainable things that we have. They're challenges we have because we haven't really targeted them solely. So I couldn't agree with you more that these are very solvable challenges in the modern world. We have the solutions. We just need to actually
match. We totally have the solutions. I interviewed a young girl from New York. She was a college grad. She'd come up with an app for your phone when you eat out in a restaurant, and you can up your bill. You can round out your bill. So if your bill is $65.99, let's say, okay, I'll round out my bill to $70. Mm. And that difference right then and there on the app, you can give to the hunger bank in your neighborhood, right? Right away. And so with this app and with the change that people were donating, I think it was some, in their neighborhood, it was like $85,000 would take people from food.
Food insecure?
Yeah, food insecure to everybody being able to eat, right? Yeah. It was nothing. And they did it in like weeks for people who eat out in restaurants, like just weeks, right? It was nothing. If everybody put it on their phone and did it, it'd be really such an easy fix and solution. Like there are, and you know, I being in the government, and I think it was Ed Harris was going to do a study. It was $50,000 to study homelessness. When you walk down the street and you're walking over homeless people, right? Like, do you need a study? Really? $50,000? Let's fix it.
Yeah.
Let's take that money and fix it instead of wasting it on studies and all kinds of stupid stuff. Right.
The resources are there. We just need to flip the perspective and really create more equality in the world. And, you know, not equity. Equity is, I think, unattainable, but equality very much is. It's just equal opportunity for everyone, right?
Yeah.
When you have, you know, people starving in you know, the Yemen crisis, and you have all these things that are very easily solvable.
Yemen breaks my heart.
And it's sad because, I don't remember who said this, but I saw a tweet and it was so real to me. And it's funny, you know, we can explore Mars and you can do space exploration and be this incredible species to do so. But then on the side, we also have Yemen. We have them side by side, right? We have crisis and war while also being the only species to ever explore space on this planet. Like, how can we do that?
I don't know. And I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand. That's why I didn't understand. It was Trump's decision. You know, but Yemen, I mean, they're dying of starvation right now. They're dying of starvation, and we could help. We could help them. And these are just poor people who have nothing to do with anything. Like, they can't do anything. They're not doing anything to the world. And they're just, you know, poor moms and dads with kids that are dying of starvation, and we could be helping them, and we're not. And it really breaks my heart. Like, that one is like, just, you hit me close to home on that one.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. But I think the one big takeaway is that just doing something, right? Looking, you know, at these organizations that actually do help, like Mercy Ships, and doing something in places that need it. It's a dispersion of wealth. It's equity. It's equality and equity. You have the ability to do so, right? So, you know, I appreciate you being a catalyst for that. And I just wanted to end with saying thank you, you know, for taking time with me. It's only been 25 minutes, but my God, 25 minutes, that's just riled me up.
Avery, thank you so much.
And if there's anyone that wants to connect with you, what is the best way for them to find you?
Oh, they can just Coach Picasso at Rogers.com. They can find me on Facebook under Unstoppable Frankie Picasso. Website by the same name, Good Radio Network. Like, they can just go a million places. Just put my name in, I think I show up everywhere.
Okay. And what was that for 2019, that new initiative you're doing? What was
rentabeliever.com. And I just want to say, Avery, I'm just so thrilled to see somebody young like yourself who is so involved in social impact. It makes my heart glad. It really does.
Oh, thank you so much.